rightly interpreting God's Word. This is Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon.
Thank you for tuning in to Abounding Grace Radio. If you're tuning in throughout the continent of Africa, U.S., Canada, or worldwide online, we welcome you today to the program. Acts chapter 28, the last chapter in the book, has some very important themes for us as we move on from this study. It's challenging us to think about how we look at opposition, tribulation, hardship, suffering. What do we think is really going on, especially in terms of the Christian ministry? Does it say that God is against us? What is to be our mission in the midst of such hardship and a changing culture and times where such hatred is rising up now against Jesus and his church in forms like not before? We're going to look at this today from Acts chapter 28, hoping that it is a great encouragement to you to understand, if you're not a believer, what Christianity is all about. If you are a believer, to be faithful in the mission that the Lord has given to us, that all people would know the gospel and enjoy forgiveness of sins and the promise of the resurrection of the body and life everlasting. Thanks for tuning in today to Abounding Grace Radio. Visit us on the web at aegradio.org, aegradio.org. The number is 888-504-8805, 888-504-8805. We are on Facebook at Abounding Grace Radio, Twitter at AEG Radio 1, Instagram, so many ways to connect with us. And of course, on that website at aegradio.org, if you want to help support Abounding Grace Radio, think of we are airing out of Zambia to the whole continent of Africa. You can do that right online. There's a PayPal link. Your monies will go to support that cause. And we are so grateful for your help to take out the gospel. It's needed today. People need to hear the good news. If Abounding Grace Radio has blessed you, then help us to be a blessing to somebody else. Here is now the program from Acts chapter 28, which I have titled, "And So We Came to Rome." This is part one. Thanks for tuning in today to Abounding Grace Radio. Well, today we come to the last chapter in our study of the book of Acts. And we really do have an encouraging section that the book leaves us with. You always want to note the end of books and what the authors are doing and how they leave a great impression on us about something. And usually it's the main theme of the book that is being pressed down on us so that we leave with a right and proper understanding of what everything has been about. And you're going to see that come together hopefully today and next week. Its purpose here particularly is to show us how the power of Jesus and his kingdom has prevailed against all the darkness of Satan's power. It challenges us in that regard as the kingdom is breaking through and Jesus' power is being shown in surprising ways and ways that we don't usually expect. It challenges us as to whether we are carrying forward the ministry in this confidence and in the intention of our Savior who desired, as he said, to leave us here so that the nations would hear the truth of the gospel. That's why we exist. That's why we're here, that the gospel would indeed go to the ends of the earth. As I've said in the course of this study, the church today has struggled, I think, in so many sad ways with its mission and mandate in light of a changing culture. And the particular reason that we're struggling today, I believe, if we can put it in different categories a little bit, it is actually due to the intense darkness of Satan's activity in our present time. That the dark opposition of Satan himself is really rising up right now against the church and against the witness at this late hour of history. And as stuff is happening that we don't understand, as stuff is happening that is different than even years ago as we experienced it, as there's progression in wickedness, as the scriptures talk about, things become very confusing and we don't quite know what to do. We don't quite know what to handle it, so we're grasping for answers. We're hoping that we can come to answers by plotting out new answers and giving new ways to solve all of the darkness that is invading us. But the end of Acts is telling us something very important. It's telling us to be careful. It's telling us to look carefully at Paul's response to all of this and to go forward as the apostles went forward, passing on to us the deposit and the baton of faith so that we would be confident in the Lord's work and that no matter what's happening, his purposes are being fulfilled. And that's what we're going to see today as we begin to close out this study. We're looking at this particular passage this morning through the lens of what the Lord said. It is through much tribulation, through much opposition, that we enter the kingdom of God. And we see this when everything is against us. We see this in Satan's rage against the church and the Lord's purpose to destroy the devil's power. And I think that should have a profound effect on us as we go forward and move on from the book of Acts. In the last section, we studied the great shipwreck. Remember, there's nothing recorded in ancient literature that is this detailed about the ship and then, of course, a shipwreck. So this was a remarkable section to study, making the point as I looked at that particular passage that the apostles were not even exempt from the struggles of creation that raged against them, which you would think, if God is in control of all creation, they would be exempt and they would have a peaceful path ahead in the ministry. Well, that wasn't the case. How many natural disasters have taken out churches and how many natural disasters have stopped mission work? We can talk about that. But as I opened up chapter 28, I realized that Luke is pressing upon the church something that I believe we should never forget. And to help us understand, again, as we leave this study, what we are involved with in the church and in the ministry as we do this work in the Lord's name. What we read here as we open up chapter 28 is that after Paul had been brought safely to land, they landed at this place, and the island was called Malta. I'm sure some of you have been there, and some of you have seen this place. The native people of the land, of course, of the island, we read, were very kind to Paul and Luke and his crew. They gave them a warm welcome, seeing them having to swim in after the shipwreck. Imagine that. Some of them holding on to planks from the boat, boards from the boat, into the island. Verse 3 says that Paul wanted to help as these natives, seeing that they were cold and seeing that they were shivering from the waters, decided to make them a fire, showing kindness to them. And Paul decided to help out with this project. Paul wanted to be a help to them, so there he is gathering up sticks to help build the fire. As he did this, we read that a viper sprung out of the sticks and lashed onto his arm and hand, everyone knowing it is a venomous snake and that Paul is certainly doomed. That's immediately what the natives of the island thought. You'll notice that there, that the native people showed us this kindness, but when this viper had come out, they saw the creature hanging from his hand, and they said to one another, no doubt, this man is a murderer. It shows the superstition. It shows everything that they believed. But it's quite a remarkable moment. It's quite a perspective change, isn't it? That something happens here. This viper leaps onto Paul and springs onto Paul. And then when they see nothing happens, of course, they then switch and so quickly believe that he is a god, from a murderer to a god. It's a fascinating section that you wrestle a little bit as a pastor to know what to do with. What do you make of this? How do you preach this? What is the point here? Isn't it something, though, that when an event happens that we consider as evil, notice how people's perspectives so quickly change. How quickly people will view the things that happen in the worst possible light. It may not be as primitive as the natives of the island thinking all of a sudden in superstition that Paul, of course, is now a murderer. But I want you to think about the shift of perspective that comes so quickly here of how they're viewing Paul. How many times have we looked at somebody and something happens to them And the way that the event that happens to them frames how we think about them, what we think that is happening to them. And we all kind of raise our eyes and stand back from series of bad events and things that happen, and we have questions. We have questions. What in the world is this? Is God judging them? Maybe this bad thing has happened in the course of their lives, and it shows that something is wrong, we think. When something bad happens to someone, this is exactly how we think. We think that the Lord has somehow turned against them, or something is a fault in their ministry. Putting this in ministry terms, something has gone wrong in ministry. You'll see where I'm going with this, but I want you to think for a moment of how we respond to things that happen, noticing the native's response. I'm particularly taken by what God allowed Satan to do to Job. Behold, all that he has is in your hand. Only do not stretch out your hand against him, right? So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord, and in one day, what happened? Every evil under the sun that could happen to the man. He lost his children through disaster. He lost his money. He lost his livestock. He lost his health. What a thing to process. And then came the responses. Eliphaz, who that was innocent has ever perished? Those who plow iniquity and sow trouble reap the same. Not helpful, is it? Bildad, see, God will not reject a blameless person nor take the hand of evildoers. Zophar, if iniquity is in your hand, put it far away, Job. Don't let wickedness reside in your tents. Surely then you will lift up your face without blemish. You will be secure and will not fear. Your life will be brighter than the noonday. Everyone has an answer, don't they? In the midst of hardship, everyone has an answer. Everyone has a perspective. Now, I think this ties to the thought here. I think it ties to the thought. He got bit. That just doesn't happen. He's a murderer. He's a murderer. He will die. And as you look at this and you start thinking about what God is showing us here, they're all waiting for the death to happen. And of course, the remarkable thing in this particular section is nothing indeed does happen to him. We read that for a long time they waited. There was no swelling up. There was no dropping dead. And they had no other conclusion than to say, this guy is a god in the opposite end of the spectrum. Now, I don't believe that's meant to be separated from chapter 27 and the shipwreck. You have the shipwreck of all shipwrecks described in the Bible with fascinating detail. It was so bad that the ship broke up and these guys had to swim in the winter waters into Malta. And then a snake comes out and bites Paul, which in any other circumstance would have indeed killed him. Both should have killed him. And the first conclusion is that everything and every circumstance Paul has faced and the apostles have faced, Luke along with them, everything that they have faced has made the trip to Rome impossible. That's what we should be reading. Everything that he has faced has made the trip to Rome impossible. Everything is working against the God-appointed destination. And I think the first inclination in ministry is to say that when opposition comes or when something like these things happen, the first inclination is to say, we've done something wrong. And so we think that God is against this. How many times have we been frustrated? Things go badly, and you can apply this right to life. things go poorly and we have hardship and we have pain and we have suffering and we have opposition and we think, what in the world is this? How could this not show that if God were a God to me and loved me, he would not allow these things to happen? And my question is, did Paul look at things this way? Did he ever look at things this way? That's not where Luke ends up, is it? Everything is most certainly under his providential care and control. But let me ask you this. What would the Jews have thought about the storm and the snake? The sea and the storm all throughout the Old Testament was constantly associated with chaos and evil powers in opposition to God, so as a leviathan. In that day, the Lord with his hand and great and strong, notice that say, what it says here, the great and strong sword will he will punish. The leviathan will, the fleeing serpent, leviathan, the twisting serpent, he will slay the dragon that is in the sea. They didn't read that as any other way other than great opposition was against the kingdom of God. John Stott, when he was evaluating this passage, drew this conclusion. We need to remember that the sea was reminiscent of from evil chaos, was a regular Old Testament symbol of evil powers in opposition to God. It was not the forces of nature, water, wind, and snake, which were arrayed against Paul, but the demonic forces at work through them. Paul's been saying it the whole time. Paul told the Thessalonians that he longed to visit them, that he wanted to visit them, and that he couldn't visit them. Why? Remember what he said? Satan hindered us. Satan himself. In the last chapter, you'll remember what Paul says. Jesus sent him in the gospel ministry to break people from the power of Satan to God. That's chapter 26, actually, when he was speaking to Agrippa. It was Satan who had filled Simon the sorcerer's heart. Remember, he says, lest Satan, 2 Corinthians 11, should get an advantage of us, for we're not ignorant of his devices. And Paul said in the ministry, in the church, as there are different vessels, that there are times that people are taken captive by the power of Satan to do his will. Now, how do you think you should be reading this? Satan and his demonic realm is doing everything in his power to stop the apostles' witness in coming to Rome. Everything. These things are meant to be read as great oppositions to the ministry, great oppositions to the witness of taking the gospel to the ends of the earth. That's the intention of this. And what is his point? Satan's power is very great in this present age. There are demonic forces at work in places and things that you have no idea, and that things are happening behind the scenes that we just don't even think about, that are very much directly tied to the satanic realm. And I think the message here is very clear for the church. At times, that rage will rise up against us in its worst forms. In its worst forms. You remember Revelation 12. This is exactly what it was all about. That after the ascension of Jesus came, and after he was seated on the throne, remember what Revelation described there? And the great dragon was thrown down, that ancient serpent who was called the devil and Satan, the deceiver of the whole world. He was thrown down to the earth, and his angels were thrown down with him. But woe to you, O earth and sea, for the devil has come down to you in great wrath because he knows his time is short. And that serpent poured water like a river out of his mouth after the woman, the church, to sweep her away with the flood. But the earth came to the help of the woman, and the earth opened its mouth and swallowed the river that the dragon had poured forth from his mouth. Revelation 12. So you need to understand that in times of terrible opposition, in times of great opposition, there is no other explanation than that. that what has happened is the direct satanic assault of the devil. He's trying everything he can to stop our testimony, and he's good at it. We should never look at the evil things that happen to people and just assume that they failed or they sinned. I think it's important to say, be careful what you read in our day. Be really careful. I have to say that pastorally. Everyone has an answer to the things that happen. Whenever there's some event, whenever there's some tragedy, whenever there's something that's all over the news, placed all over the news, be careful of the news reports the next day and everyone who's the first one to speak out on it and have the answers. The ignorance is just as bad as Job's friends. Just as bad. What is the message here? It's not that God was somehow causing the evil to come upon them, or that Paul's ministry was faulty. Look what he's going through. It was that through all this evil, he's overruling it. Through all this stuff happening, he's overcoming it. Through all of it, he is showing in remarkable wisdom his power to destroy it. That's what you should see. The end of the shipwreck, after a long section of an impossibility of getting out of the ocean, you remember what happened? It ends in chapter 27 with, "And they arrived safely to the land." After the end of the snake bite that should have killed him, the outcome was they changed their minds because of him. Why? Because he didn't die. And this man named Publius now becomes this great open door, and you could read about him in history, this great open door for the gospel on the island as Paul is now able to minister there and preach the gospel through the power of Jesus as many are healed. What does it tell you? What it tells you is God is destroying the power of the devil on the earth, that God is helping the woman and the church, and no matter what the opposition is, no matter how bad it looks, no matter how discouraging it all is, he will prevail. That's the message. And we have to believe that. We have to believe that. We have to trust that. Even though you may never see that in the midst of a shipwreck. You never see that when the viper's hanging on the arm. The first great encouragement is Jesus is indeed in control of it all, and Jesus is directing it to his great purpose. And if you don't understand this, if you don't, you're going to be completely perplexed in the ministry, always searching for answers, always judging wrongly, and never coming to a good understanding of what your mission is. He's on the throne, and he's given us a call. Now, what does that mean for us? I think it says that what we should be doing in the times where we see great rising up of things that are unexplainable to us, things that we don't understand, we shouldn't be the first ones writing in the Washington Post or commenting. Here's what we should be doing. Remember what the Heidelberg says we should be praying about when you say, "Your kingdom come, O Lord"? Preserve and increase your church. Destroy the works of the devil and every power that raises itself against you and every conspiracy against your word. Do this until the fullness of your kingdom comes, when you shall be all in all. You know what you should do is that. Bow the knee in silence and pray that God would tear this down and undermine it all. Maybe that's what the church needs more than ever, is prayer right now. Are we praying that? Are we praying in the midst of this chaos? Are we praying in the midst of the most evil manifestations of things that are happening around us? And it reminds us not to be so baffled by the pure evil that Satan throws against us, but to realize the Lord will indeed overthrow.
Thank you for listening to Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. Call us toll-free at 888-504-8805. That's 888-504-8805. Contact us through the web at agradio.org. That's agradio.org. We're on Facebook. Look for Abounding Grace Radio Ministry. Listen daily on this station and subscribe in iTunes or use our free Android app. We trust this program has encouraged you to trust in Christ for your standing with God and to live in His abounding grace.